get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls.
Shotgun snap. Tool back to pass. Throws to the middle. Picked off. And there he goes. Down the sideline. TJ Ward. 10-5. Touchdown.
Pitbull. Bringing us back on a Victory Friday. I like the fact that we've had so many victory shows in a short period of time.
It's been a nice roll.
So of our last 10 shows,
yeah,
dating back to the Monday after Minnesota, this would be the 10th of those 10. Three of them have been victory shows.
It changes everything. I mean, you walk in
the
here,
orange is a little brighter.
The orange is a little brighter. The meatballs taste a little better.
The au jus being accumulated in case they make the playoffs for the flatbed of my F-150.
Gonna swim in that stuff.
That's right. I think you got rid of your F-150 to get a Ford Explorer just so that you didn't have to have my au jus.
No, I wasn't. No. I mean, I'll be down with the au jus swim, but I'm just saying when it's the timing's right. Where it's a little premature to go into au jus swimming right now.
And you don't want to be premature.
Is Gerard Cherry with us now?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm wondering, what the hell are you two talking about?
It's tied into the Rosewood Grill, and
that's right.
You know they have those unbelievable sandwiches, the French dips, and you go in there and they're killer. They're called the killer French dip. And a lot of gravy with that, the au jus, and that's why. So Nathan, what's the deal here? They make the playoffs. They make the playoffs. Nathan's going to fill the bed of his F-150 from Liberty Ford with au jus. And
I'm assuming it sounds like a win for me.
A pool party.
That's right. Well, I tell you what, guys, I went last week to the Rosewood Grill.
Yeah.
And they have this veggie burger, and I'm not veggie burger guy. It's all about meat and potatoes for me. And I'm staring at this woman's sandwich the whole time I was there, and she was pregnant, so she needed her whole meal. I was so tempted to.
You wanted a bite.
Can I have a piece of that just to try it?
Yeah, can you get a sample?
Of French dip thing.
Get a sample. I love it.
All right, we're feeling good on a Victory Friday, Gerard. Your take, your big picture.
I'm feeling good about the victory as well, and I'm happy with what I saw of a football team able to overcome being down in the football game, the loss of its leader, in my opinion, Brian Hoyer, still respond back and do different things to help the team win as a team. We talk about complementary football all the time. You saw a defense score. You saw a special team score. You saw the offense do what was necessary to keep the ball away from the Buffalo Bills at pivotal times in the game. So that part of the game was definitely encouraging for me. And when you learn how to win, it becomes a habit. And you're seeing that this team is getting a good habit. Now, obviously, the same thing that concerns you gentlemen is probably concerning me, too. Well, I'm going to say it is concerning me. I'm assuming it's concerning you, and that's the likelihood that Hoyer is done for the year. I'm concerned about that.
He's done. It's official.
Official.
So I'm concerned about that. Can Brandon Wheaton, I will give Brandon credit in this regard. He has not practiced in 2 weeks, and he went out there and played meaningful football with the fans that won in one sense against him, as well as the Buffalo Bills, and he stepped up and did what was necessary. Obviously, I didn't walk away from that performance saying that he was a better quarterback than Brian Hoyer, but Brandon has now an opportunity and chance, and he has to obviously maximize it and move forward from there. So do I have concerns about what's going to take place at the quarterback position? Yes, because I'm of the opinion you lost a better quarterback with Brian Hoyer being gone.
What does it do for the locker room, though? They were 0-2 with Brandon Whedon and 2-0 with Brian Hoyer, and, you know, can we win with Brandon Whedon, et cetera, et cetera. Let me ask you this. All of a sudden now he comes in down 7-0, quickly down 10-0 after really playing just a couple of snaps, and leads this team to a victory. Now, granted, the defense helped out. The special teams, complimentary football. I gave you credit for that earlier when we opened up the show and said that you talked about that, and this certainly was a case of it. But I thought the drive that Whedon had after they fell behind in the second half, 24-17, quick strike to get the momentum back, the 37-yarder to Josh Gordon, followed by a previous play, was a 47-yarder, of course, to Greg Little. I was very, very impressed by what I saw from him there. And what does this do in the locker room? That he actually did enough, made the plays that he needed to make sure that this team won the game. So they won a game now with him at quarterback, even when he came in the hole, so to speak.
Yeah, he definitely did enough. He made two plays. But again, we're talking about quarterbacking as opposed to just making a couple plays and what that takes. And Brandon's still a young player, though older in age, and he hasn't learned that skill set that Hoyer possesses, and you saw that on display last night. As far as just orchestrating a drive, not relying solely on big plays, but getting chunks, bits and pieces here and there, and using that type of attack. He hasn't had that yet, but God willing, in the next 10 days, because he didn't actually get any meaningful reps, because he is a creature of habit, he'll step up and do better. And that's really all that we can hope at this point moving forward, and give him our full vote of confidence to say, Brandon, hey, you got a great opportunity, because normally it doesn't strike twice for you like this, where, because pretty for the most part, the way Brian Hoyer was looking, you weren't going to see the field again. So here it is, man. Take advantage of it. Do what's necessary to help this football team win. And guys have no choice but to buy into what he is going to do, which is be the quarterback of this team. And you really can't sit back and say, well, I wish Brian was out here right now. That doesn't mean anything no more. So that's where that professional element kicks in, and going back to Trent Richardson being gone. The guys have to circle the wagons again and say, you know what, let's give Brandon Weeden our full support. He's our quarterback. We have his back, and go out there and do what's necessary to win a football game.
And obviously there's the issue that he, you know, has to hold on to the ball. You know, he holds on to it a little bit too long. Sometimes he doesn't get through his progressions as quickly as you would like, but he still does throw a good deep ball. What can Norv Turner do? And I thought he made a great in-game adjustment. It seemed like the route combinations became different. He was trying to simplify things for Brandon Weeden, given it was a short week and he didn't get any reps. But how much of an advantage is it now to get this 10 days to prepare for Detroit? And what can be done to help Brandon Weeden succeed? Because now he does have Josh Gordon. He's got the weapons.
The beautiful thing is he has 10 days. Give him Brandon Weeden 10 days. I like my chances with 10 days. As long as you approach it the right way. Don't try to put too much on yourself, Brandon. Don't try to be a carbon copy of Brian Hoyer. Ultimately, you have to be yourself, but take some concepts from Brian Hoyer as far as getting rid of the football and being decisive in that regard and throwing away the football, not trying to hold on too long because you feel you can make a play. Get rid of that out of your game. So take that part of what you observed from Brian Hoyer while you're out for the past 2 weeks. But ultimately, trust in yourself, believe in yourself, and just work hard, man. And again, what we saw, granted, was a preseason game, two of them. Maybe that could come back to light for you, because you also now have an opportunity to have a full week and a few days extra of meaningful practice. And you have a great weapon in Josh Gordon being back for you as well. So we'll see. I don't think it's that simple. But I do have a feeling that if he was able to do what he was able to do last night after being off a two-week layoff, that there's a chance he can do better. I'm hesitant about it, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt as well. We talked about the back end of this defense. T.J. Ward, the big pick six to ice the game buster screen. Another very effective game, targeted 13 times, but only gave up 54 yards receiving. Tayshawn Gibson, I thought, played well. We know what Joe Hayden's doing. Is this back end of the defense quietly becoming a big strength of this team?
Getting better. Strength is going to be a stretch. It's not a strength yet. It's not shut out, lights out, dominating on the same level that you saw the defensive line. Granted, some people saying, well, they gave up a big play. That one big play took place because of a rookie, and granted, he's playing lights out as well. Barkevious Mingo made a mistake not taking care of the backside of a defense. But I would not go that far. They're definitely playing better, Nathan, but I will not say it's to the point where it's a strength quite yet. You got to give me four or five more samples of you just shutting down everyone before I go to that route.
Three straight games without a passing touchdown allowed. Pretty good in today's National Football League.
It is.
Even though they didn't face maybe the greatest quarterbacks in the league.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere. Let me ask you this. You look at the ground attack in this game. Willis McGahee certainly ran very hard. The numbers don't overwhelm you, but you saw a little bit more of a commitment to it. 26 carries, 72 yards. He scored a touchdown, just 2.8 yards per carry. What are you expecting from Willis McGahee going forward, and what did you think about the commitment to the run last night and just the fact that they did go ahead and they weren't afraid to pound it up in there and they finally did get it done at the goal line, although it took a few times trying to knock that door down?
First, you don't succeed. Try again,
seriously,
right?
And hope you get a penalty in there as well.
You know what? We got to remember, that was technically, Willis McGahee's second preseason game?
Yes.
So right there alone, you had to give him – again, applause and a pound on back for saying, man, this is two games in and you're able to do that. Granted, the average is not killer. At the same time, he made some nice plays and he did the things necessary when the offense and his team, more importantly, needed him to step up. So I'm encouraged about the offensive line play. I think it is getting better along with the secondary play. But it's just not as a standout to me the same level as does the defensive front seven stands out. But I definitely think the passing – well, the running game is getting better, not to level the passing game or as prolific by any stretch of the imagination, but it's definitely getting better.
It is getting better. And listen, you need a little bit complimentary football, the running game with the passing game going hand in hand, obviously. You know, when you think about this team, one of the things we talked about earlier was that it's a Browns team that is so Cleveland. They're so scrappy. They're so gritty, and they found a way to win because this was a game we talked about. This is a game they're supposed to win. Take care of business in the games you're supposed to win. Winning those games you're supposed to is big for this team. And then all of a sudden, there was a period where it didn't look like this was any longer a game the Cleveland Browns were supposed to win, yet they found a way. Talk about how contagious and infectious it is, and think about the fact, you know, 15 days ago, everybody called the show, the sky was falling in Berea. The Browns had given up on the season. They were going to go 0-16. Now here they are, 3-2. Amazing.
You nor I, only the homers of homers, saw this team being 3-2 at this stage of the game.
Before this season, but not after the 0-2 start.
Yeah, not after what you
saw.
Exactly. Right. And I'd be forthright and say I didn't either. I was pretty much saying this is a done deal as well, based on what I had saw take place the first 2 weeks, along with the transactions that were occurring. At the same time, last night, initially, I was concerned too, Nate, because I'm saying to myself, you're on national TV, and how are you going to approach this? And on one hand, I felt guys were trying to do too much to get their names in the paper, and then some guys were nervous about the fact that their name might be in the paper. And when you have those two combinations working on a football team, you're down a few points in the first quarter. But to their credit, what do? They did not sink their heads in the sand. They responded and fought back and got to this football game and ultimately won the football game by doing what they've been doing for the most part, which has been a tough and physical football team. But more importantly than anything, we finally saw shades of what happens when all three phases show up. I'm telling you, that is the key. All three phases show up in a football game, you will win football games.
You will win football games. You're absolutely right about that. And let me ask you this. Josh Gordon wasn't there for any of Brandon Whedon's first two games. Mm-hmm. Josh Gordon caught a big 37-yard touchdown from Brandon Whedon. Do you think, you know, this game perhaps turns out differently for Brandon Whedon on the offensive side of the ball without number 12?
Yeah, because that's a huge target and it frees a lot of things up. Most definitely, I think that, to borrow from Trent Richardson. I have to say
Most definitely.
That if you don't have Josh Gordon, who's on offense? Granted, Greg Little made a nice deep play.
But he did.
Who has the capabilities to do what Josh Gordon did? I mean, if you think about it, it wasn't a clean catch. He ended up making a play eventually, but that just shows you his level of giftedness that he doesn't even catch the ball clean, and he still is able to make the play. So, yeah, Brandon Whedon had a very fair argument when he made a comment a week ago that, hey, I didn't have Josh Gordon. Just imagine what happened if I had him too. So we'll get a chance to fully see. And you know what we're going to have to do, man? And I got this on Twitter last night, and I understand the fan base's pain in regards to seeing Hoyer go out. But we're going to have to support Brandon Whedon.
Yeah.
Until he's not – even as long as he's on the Browns, we have to support him. That simple.
I agree. You got to support him. And listen, he, in the first two games, was amongst the worst in the NFL in yards per attempt. Last night, 8.2. That's where you need to be in this offense of Norv Turner. So he did get there, made the adjustments as the game went on, and the Browns got it done. This is a team 3-2. First place by themselves for now in the AFC North. Who'd have thunk it, Gerard?
Exactly, and we'll take it. And hopefully 4-2 moving forward.
That's right. 9 days from now, they will take on the Detroit Lions. Gerard, always a pleasure. Thanks for having you stop by here on Cleveland Browns Daily.
All right, Nate. Dizzy.
All right, Gerard will be up next. Hooley and Gerard, 3 p.m. Eastern here on ESPN 850 WKNR. When we come back, we're going to check in with Dino, reading some of the tweetage coming out at Browns_daily. The barks and the growls from the dog pound. The first place, Cleveland Browns. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. What keeps the planet?